You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this interview. We have a singer-songwriter all the way from North Dakota, Mr. Joe Eddy. How are you, Joe?
Hey, I'm doing great. Hey, Nikki, thanks for having me here.
Of course. Where are you from in North Dakota?
I'm in a town called Grand Forks right now. It's, if you heard of Fargo?
Yes.
It's about an hour drive north of there, and I'm about a 2 hours drive south of Winnipeg, Manitoba.
So it must be very cold where you are right now.
It's really cold right now. Actually, I was about to go out and start my truck when I got your message. So, yeah, it's cold. I'm staying here, cozy.
They start your truck. You're like going to leave it on just so it heats up?
It's got to warm up. Yeah, things will break if you just get in and drive. You can't do that. You got to warm it up. Yeah.
I've driven in snow, so I know that feeling. And it's like, what's so funny is coming from L.A., You'd take for granted just jumping in your car and going, because like you need that 15 minutes just sit in your car and make sure everything's cool.
It's crazy, man. I know. I was out in California, of course, a couple weeks ago, and I didn't want to leave because I knew that this is what I was coming back to.
Right.
My body was like, no.
Well, you know what? There's something to that too, though. You get seasons. LA is not good about having seasons, and that is what is good about having seasons is you go through all four stages of the year, you know? So
you
get to enjoy it. Do you have to drive in the snow for gigs and stuff a lot out there?
Oh, yeah.
I've done that.
Today I went to pick up some speakers, some PA gear, came from FedEx, and I threw them in the back of my truck. I took a picture because they were on top of a pile of snow. It's funny. Yeah.
I know loading gear in and out is hard on its own, but to do it in snow and to drive in snow, that is a whole nother thing. I've done it a lot, mostly in Utah. I've done it in Oregon. I've done it in New York. And it's enough of a taste of I cannot gig like that all the time. It's good to do it every now and then, but man, it is tough. It is definitely makes you think, is this worth it sometimes? So I know, but you're probably a little bit more used to it than I am now, right?
Yeah, well, I think there's like a migration season that I'm trying to find where, yeah, it right around November, I think, after Thanksgiving type stuff, I need to get south.
Okay, I see. Yeah. So you follow the birds.
Yeah.
Like, follow the birds and then you know where to play. That's good though. Sometimes I like it because it's like gives you an adventure, but there's a danger factor when driving in it that I don't love, especially a blizzard. I've driven in many blizzards to and from gigs in the middle of the night. Not my favorite, just because you cannot see where you're going, what you're doing, and black.
The worst.
It can get pretty heavy.
That is the worst, man. Yeah.
Does that help you with riding though? Like, do you feel like it can be a form of inspiration to write?
Well, actually, it really is right now because it is so freaking cold out that I don't want to leave. I'm in my studio right now, and I've been putting in some extra hours here. And it really, truly is because of that, because it's so cold. I don't want to leave. So I have more seclusion time to write, yes. As far as like influencing the lyrical content and that sort of thing, yeah, probably it shows up there too, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, actually, I just wrote a song the other day, Winter Storm Warning. There's a winter storm warning coming.
There we go.
Yeah. And I'm running out of weed. That was the extra buy. Yeah.
It infiltrates some way or another, and that it's.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, what was the moment of Zen that first made you want to become a musician?
Oh yeah. Well, I was a little kid. I was 9 years old. I remember it. I was watching MTV, had just begun, and Poison, the band Poison, CC DeVille. CC DeVille was rocking. I loved the sound. I loved the tone. I know this sounds kind of whack for me to say. I love the tone of CC DeVille's guitar, but as a 9-year-old kid, I sure did, man. And I remember telling my mom that I want a guitar. She went and got me an acoustic guitar, not quite what CC had, but yeah, that was kind of the start of it, you know. I wanted to play guitar. I kind of liked music before that, though. I remember sitting at my parents; they had a piano in the house, and I would write little melodies. I had a kind of a notation system that I devised with like numbering my fingers, and would cherries falling on the rooftops was one of them. Yeah, these early exposure things, I felt creative, you know, creativity still, like that's I do a lot of journaling, and my creativity and the freedom to pursue it, I'm so grateful for it. It's that's like the magic of life to me, really, and I still connect to that same feeling.
Well, the cool thing too, it's like you see how your influences change over time, but Poison is still a badass band. I still remember like Something to Believe In, some of those tunes, Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
All of it,
Those
all
were
of
Unskinny Bop. Didn't they do Unskinny Bop? That
it.
was.
Yeah, they did. They did. That was when they started to cheese out. I kind that was when I was like a senior in high school, and that was when I it got harder and harder to defend them. I love that song. I love that guitar riff too, and the sound. But that was when I started to drift. I like their early stuff. I really do like the like. Sappy ballads. There's a song called I Won't Forget You, Baby, that they do off one of their first albums, and that's I just love CC's tone on that. And yeah.
That's awesome. You know, a friend of mine was like, she's friends with CeCe, and she was like, yeah, he's looking for musicians to jam with. You know, he kind of quit drinking, and I
Dude.
don't anymore. And she was like, I know you don't drink, and you know, he's looking for, and I was like, set it up. I'd be down. But she said it never came to fruition because he was kind of in and out of rehab and just trying to get that handled. So, yeah, he's always been like the guitar guy and just has such a presence. So, and
Yeah.
don't hear many people saying Poison was an early influence
I
too.
don't know. Well, you mentioned how your influences change over time right soon after that. So I got the acoustic guitar. My mom got me into guitar lessons, and it was like folk music. You know, I had the book. And I'm learning these basic like cowboy folk songs, but in that book there was one song that was really cool. I liked playing it, and then I got later on in the book, and there was another song that I liked playing that one too. And I was like, these songs sound the same in a way. And I was looking at them, and I realized they were by the same person, people. And it was Lennon and McCartney. So there was two Beatles songs that sort of like there was something in them that I heard that I liked. It drew me to that. And that's no kidding. That was how it was, how I was I heard something in these songs where I liked them both, and there was something that paired them together somehow in my mind, and then I discovered, and that was like a key to me being turned on to songwriting, and being finding the appeal of that that moment was one of those things. So
Like if you learn guitar, you definitely go through the Beatles terminal and you definitely go through the Jimi Hendrix terminal, and then the world is your oyster after that, because you go through those two terminals and it's like, okay, what else can I find that's magical and different? And, you know, it's like, but you always, I don't know any guitars. It's like, yeah, I don't know Jimi Hendrix too well. It's like, really? You on the instrument, you know that it's, you know, Jimi Hendrix.
Right.
It's part of it. And it's like, if you want to be a great songwriter, you got to know Beatles stuff, because they did the best with changes. They did the best with lyrics, arrangements. So it's like, you know, I love that those are influences for you. I mean, you didn't mention Jimi Hendrix, but the Beatles are a huge influence on me. And I'm always thinking about that and writing. Was it a particular song that made you want to start writing songs, or was it a particular music video, either by Poison or either by Lennon McCartney or any folk artist, that made you just want to take this seriously?
Well, it after the Lennon McCartney sort of like discovery, that was really young. That was like 9, 10 years old. And then high school years, it was I was jamming along to Neil Young records.
Awesome.
I was a little bit of Bob Dylan in there, but then he really hit me. Bob Dylan hit me hard. It was It's All Right, Ma, I'm Only Bleeding.
Yeah.
I had heard his music, and you know, I knew Rainy Day Women, right? Everybody Must Get Stoned, and a few of his songs. But when I saw that, I was intrigued by him. But then I remember coming across that song and thinking, did he really title his song that? It just struck me as such an odd title.
Right.
And then also I kind of understood what he was saying. I felt like with what he was saying by it too. And I that really turned me on. Just like the way you could say something so nuanced and that is probably kind of hard to communicate in normal language,
right,
in conversation, but you could say it in a song and communicate with people in such a subtle way. That was a big turn on for me right there. So for me, it was like a blend of songwriting and guitar. I also, my uncle Alan Greenwood has a magazine, Vintage Guitar Magazine, out of North Dakota. It's a really popular magazine, Vintage Guitar. And so the guitar specifically was an influence on me. So I've kind of had these two like competing interests, like the songwriter part and the guitar god part, you know. So those, yeah, that was my development track.
Family that were players and musicians around you then.
Say what?
You had family around you that were musicians.
Well, yes and no. None of them are really musicians. Like, My uncle plays and has a guitar collection and is very knowledgeable about guitars, but you know, he'd be the first to tell you that he's not much of a guitar player. He does play and plays, but other than that, like my parents had that piano in the house and they were taking lessons. I remember they were both taking lessons individually for a while, but other than that, No real music in the family, really. Yeah.
So it just drew you to it, like from MTV to finding records to discovering songs on the radio and then finding artists like a Bob Dylan that made you say, I want to take this more seriously.
Cause yeah.
Yeah. And do you find, is there any particular song outside of the ones that you mentioned where you kind of keep referencing for Bob Dylan where it's like, you keep going back to, it's like a well that keeps on giving.
That dude is just crazy. My struggle with him is to stay away. I don't want to be too, for a long time in my like 20s, I couldn't even write. I couldn't even put anything on a piece of paper because I felt so like under his shadow with anything I did. Like, you're playing guitar. You know, I could hardly even do that at times.
Right.
I listen to it all. I like the I don't know. He's just got the deep moving stuff. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's
For me,
any.
I love the record Desire. It's so good with her pain and just the front to back of Desire. I'm like, man, there are just not a lot of records that are this good. And you got a lot of tracks that are just they hit. Free Will and Dylan, it's great, but I feel as a record and a sound, there's not much that Hurricane is such a good song and it's such an incredible story. And it did so much to kind of like put a spotlight on that person. Like, not many musicians were doing something like that. And he fought the good fight. He still fights a good fight, but I mean, he really fought the good fight in the 60s. And I'm that record showcased that more than anything because it's like it, the message, the sound, his voice, everything was just so good. One of my favorite records. So I always listen to Desire by Bob Dylan. I think it's one of the best records he ever did.
Yeah, that's a good point too about Hurricane and what he did with that song, you know. So powerful because even it's really crazy right now. Like I feel this pressure to just be quiet about things, you know. And it's really easy to feel that way, but you look at someone like Bob Dylan or any of the true guy, like the true guys, they wouldn't cave. They wouldn't cave on it. And it's thank goodness they don't, because it's those ones that didn't cave that give us strength, that give me strength right now to not be quiet about things or to, you know, not go along with things.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think that's like the point of being a songwriter. It's like we're observers and we're just like, you have to tell it how it is with no frills and just the way it should be. The way the truth should be. It should be hard. It should be honest. It should be painful. I think it should be real and it should be without any filters or politics around it. And it's like, it's hard to do that. And Bob Dylan did it as one of the best. It's like you can just tell, like, so I can understand that. I can relate to that too, because I've had moments where it's daunting. I went to a music school, USC in LA, and they asked me to come back and do a concert. And they said it was the English department, the poetry department was putting on the concert. And the teacher had asked me to rewrite Bob Dylan's, oh my God, these times are changing. And he wanted me to make a modern version, and he's a huge Dylan fan. And I was like, okay, cool. So I like put the lyrics up on like a text, and I put my blank text next to it. And I stared at those lyrics for weeks. Online and be like, okay, cool. And then I would come back to it like 3 days later, and I would do another line. And I just let those lyrics just like slap me against the face every day because he's such a good writer that he encapsulated not only a time period, but every sect of society in that song. And it was just so clever. I was like, man, it just made me realize this is such a clever songwriter because he hit every part of society in one song in 3 minutes and did it in such a powerful way that made you know that this is around forever. And so I made this parallel, and I played it at the show, and the teacher came up to me. He's like, man, you did it. It was powerful. It was everything that Dylan's song was, and it's called The World Keeps On Revolving, and it's a, like a total parallel. But I mean, it really made me respect Dylan on a whole different level because I feel like there's no, the his power of real estate in a song is, I think, his greatest strength. Like he does not waste a single line of prose, a single word, a single verse. There's no fluff, and like it's all there and I think that's why his music is so powerful and speaks to so many. So I love that he's a major influence on you. Let's play something of yours. What do you want to play first?
Let's see. What poison? Yeah, a lot of my songs, I their draft. This is a draft. You know, this one's not out on the, you know, it's not officially published, but yeah. Yeah. Like
more. Here's What Poison by Joe Eddie. Tell me what the inspiration behind that song was.
Well, the immediate spark was I had passed over a pack of nicotine pouches to my drummer friend Kevin. I have a great group of dudes that hang out up here with me and write with me and jam. My drummer friend Kevin Grindy, he said he didn't know what I was shoving across the table, and he said, "What evil this way comes," or something like that. But the deeper thing that I had going on at the time was like personal boundaries and just getting wasted, kind of. I quit drinking recently.
Oh, and cool.
It's not 100% successful all the time, and I'm not trying to be that strict about it, but I am trying to be have better boundaries about it. You know, it's really easy to just stay up all night and wake up to a mess, and Yeah, I don't want to do that. So that song was written probably 2 years ago, I guess, year and a half ago. So it's been a while, and I've made a lot of ground on that front, but that was what it was about. It was just kind of I kind of know it, knowing that your friends, your people want to hang out with you. You want to go do stuff, and it sounds fun, and you're getting the invitations, and yeah, I don't know. Does that make sense? I don't know.
I mean, I actually went through it. It's like, it's one of those things where when you have something like music, it's hard to stop thinking about music. And when you party, it's real easy to just get like sidetracked. Like you just
Totally.
lose focus. And that's actually one of the reasons I stopped. It's like I was always being sidetracked, and I knew there was something eating at me, like music saying, hey, can we get back to music? Because music is like it, And but it's really hard because you have to be social on some level. Like,
Yeah.
not gonna ever hang out with friends, and like to not be tempted by that is very difficult. So it's one of those things. I went through it. It's like, but it's also when you come out on the other side, you feel better for having kind of like restricted yourself a little bit. Because it gives you more time to work on music, clear-headed, on the level. Like that's a really powerful tool. So I hope you try to stay with it. I know it's difficult, and I've gone
Yeah.
through where it's like it's easy just to be swayed. And it's like easier to be strong on your own, and it's harder to be strong with other people because it's like, that's totally it. It's like you don't think peer pressure is a thing. Peer pressure thing, for sure.
It's so crazy, dude. It's crazy. Yeah, it's like I've first of all, thank you for wishing me well to stick with it. And I am doing great. I'm doing really great. And I do have that perspective that you mentioned, like looking back on it, I was able to restrict myself. And it's like, yeah, I can sense when things are not going well, and I can have the strength to pick it up and do better. And man, it's really awesome when I can just not feel sick, not feel like everything's a wreck, not be like, where, what was I trying to do again?
Right.
And yeah, but you're right, the peer pressure is the thing, man. That was the hardest part for me, was breaking off relationships and saying no to things and situations that I knew that as soon as I'm there, that it's out the window. And that's what that song is about. Like, what my phone just dinged. I just got a text. What evil this way comes now?
Right.
That was what that was going on for me at the time.
Well, and that's something that a lot of people deal with the same thing, struggle that I was thinking about this the other day too. What was I watching? I was watching some movie, and two people were, they were high in it, and then they were like, "Oh, I'm not really high anymore," and that's cool. And for a moment, I was like, it's really interesting. Life can be a high on its own, but we forget. It's so easy to forget how great of a high life can be just to be in that place. And we use escapism to make life more interesting or whatever. And that's fun too. But the cool thing is that life is the zero. Like it like brings you back to, oh, like when you come down off something, you're like, oh, it's so great to be back at zero. And that's it was an interesting perspective for me. I was like, it's interesting that they're like, oh yeah, I'm relieved to be back at zero. And it's like, that's the power of it. It's like that's a weird thing. It's like it always feels good to be at zero on some level. And it's like the more we kind of experience that, the more you realize like, oh yeah, I want to just make zero it. It's really odd. It's like, and I've experienced all sides of that where it's like, anything is cool to leave ground zero, but about it where I was like, this is really neat to kind of think about and put into perspective. So yeah, I wish you continued strength on that journey, and I will from I've been sober for 25 years, and it's the best decision I ever made, and it's also helped my music more than anything. It's like never been more prolific or more grounded and driven because of it, and it's one of the things that I hold on to for that very reason, because it's like, man, that's all I want. I want just to look back at my life and just see a lot of beautiful music was written, a lot of beautiful music was recorded, a lot of beautiful shows and, you know, experiences that I had to share that music was, that was my life. That's what I always want to think about. So, I hope you keep on it. Let's play something else. What do you want to play next?
Oh, man, let's play that song, I Roll. This is a song that I wrote with my buddy Chad Hollister. I'm wearing his hat. This guy is a songwriter out of Vermont. Great dude, Chad Hollister. Chadmusic.com if you get a chance. So such a good dude. His songs are they're rocking and they're positive. They're they feel good. But he's been just a really good bro to me and helped me. You know, we've done some songwriting retreats together. We've got plans to do more. We're talking on the phone all the time, helping each other with our marketing and figuring out our gigs. And he's helping coach my performance, my singing, my performing, and my songwriting. So I had driven, this was in August, I drove from North Dakota through the Great Lakes, through Ontario, Montreal, and then into Vermont. I had never been to Vermont before. And hung out with Chad and another dude, Jonathan, from Boston, who was there to write as well. And the three of us wrote songs for 4 days in this mountain retreat in Vermont. And this song, Chad, I think, is playing guitar on this one and singing a little bit of background with me. And this is, I think this is the first time I even sang it all the way through. I had just written it. But it was kind of a new direction in songwriting for me. I made a joke with Chad one time. We were at a backyard sort of concert. It was a little shindig, and we were taking turns playing songs. And he's got "Be Kind" and "Sunshine," and then every time it was my turn, it was "Well, hey, bartender." And, you know, it was like these bluesy songs. And I was like, God, man, all yours are positive. And I'm over here like, ugh. And so I want to get some of that. I want to grab some of that. I know, like, when he walks into a room and starts playing a show, it changes the room in this beautiful, blossoming way.
That's cool.
And so I want to grab some of that. So this song, yeah, that was a long intro to this song. But,
love it.
Pivot.
Here's Joe Eddy with I Roll.
Okay, right. Can't put a genie back in the bottle. Biscuit on change into wine. These wheels inside burn at full throttle. I ain't waiting for no sign. It's how I roll. I roll. So I roll. I spent an evening with a lover. Spent a night with a friend. In the morning and all its wonder, I'll be on my way again. And so I roll. I drove through the lights, felt the seasons change like day into night. I jumped in the water, I swam from the shore. Won't be long, baby, I'll be knocking at your door.
Definitely sounds like campfire, folksy, bluesy sing-along. Is that the vibe you wanted to encapsulate?
Yeah, it was. Chad wanted me to dig a little deeper. We kind of said, all right, we're going to write now. Ready, break. And we all went and we're supposed to write for, I don't know, 20 minutes or whatever. And we came back and I had a blues song written. And it was like a 12-bar blues, and I guess it was like too shallow for Chad, and he wanted me to dig a little deeper and write about something that he knew that I was going through some stuff at the time, getting a little pushback about what I'm up to and stuff. And that's what that was about.
That's cool. It's got a good vibe. It's, I could see that you got that, like, it's like more like Americana roots. That sound is like where I think your vibe is, which is cool.
So my comfort zone, my home base is just to play a blues dun 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 dun, dun, dun. And it's really easy for me to go there every time, but Chad knew that like I was just saying about his songs being so positive, he knew that I wanted to get there too. And so he came up with the guitar. He had the guitar and was saying, why don't you do something like, and he had this D7th chord that he played, and he emphasized that it had to be D7th because it's got this light, soft thing after that solid beat hit. And then he wanted me to be like, why don't you be like, what? Why did you drive here from North Dakota? Why did you drive to Vermont when there's no gig, there's no money, you're just coming to write songs, and it means so much to you that you're willing to withstand the pushback from people back home that are saying, why are you doing that? And so that's what that song got to the heart of it, was that, you got to just kind of like do what's right for you. And
I think what's funny is like a lot of people don't realize that musicians and especially songwriters, we don't live in the same realm as most people. It's like, it's great to make money. It's fantastic to make money.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful feeling to make money. But it doesn't come close to the feeling I get when I write a song.
Yeah, man. I know.
I come close.
Thank you for saying that. Jeez.
Yeah. It's the absolute truth, because it's easy for people to not understand it. And it's people to discount it. And
it's really easy for me to absorb it and really like get down about it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you.
Sorry, go ahead. What were we saying?
I was gonna say I'm a Libra, and if that means anything to you guys, I don't know. I absorb it. I don't like it when someone is upset with me, or even if it's just a tiny thing, I would rather just address it. And so when people are pushing back on my schedule, my availability, any of it, it gets hot. You know what it started was just my appearance and my clothing choices, and I don't know. It's a long history of me having to like justify being an artist, I guess, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I mean, what I love about artists, like you and I just met. We met at NAMM, but it's like we talked for like maybe 5-10 minutes, and I understood you, and you understood me, just based on music and what that life is. And it's like those are the people that I respond to the most, because it's like, oh yeah, we're part of the same tribe. It's like we don't think about the same things as most people. And like, what's important to us is being present enough to write a song about something that you're living. It's like you're documenting your life, and you know, I've gone through this amazing journey where it's like, okay, I wrote a song. All right, I'm gonna perform the song. All right, there's only 10 people in the audience. All right, I'm gonna record the song. I'm gonna invest all this money in it. All right, we don't know what's going to happen with that song. And then over time, that song makes its way into people's hearts, or people are singing it, or people are listening to it, or people are coming to shows and singing back the words. And then those numbers start to grow. And it's like you see those numbers go from 10 people to 100 people to 300 people to 1,000 people. And I played it up until 10,000 people. And it's like, no one can explain what that feeling is like. And it's worth more than $1 million. You cannot buy it. That's the greatest thing. I mean, record labels do buy it, you know, but I mean, you really can't buy it, because even if somebody was to push a sound or a song, the song has to speak to people on some level. So yeah. Like, it's really amazing when you see artists kind of like put it out there. And you know, those are the artists I think about the most, are like the artists that they just do it to do it, because so many artists make me stop in my tracks, and it's like I may be one of those 10 people, but I'm listening. And it's those are the artists I think about all the time. It's like those artists that are always doing it no matter what, because they're the real deal. They are the realest of the real, and they're the ones that inspire me the most, more than any celebrated artist out there, it's the artist when I'm like walking by and you hear somebody and you're like, what is that?
Yeah.
You know, what lyric or what melody caught my ear to make me stop? It's like, that's what it's about. And we, and most people don't have anything in their lives that may stop them like that. And that's right. The thing, you know what I mean? But for musicians and songwriters especially, that's what we live for. We live for that little moment. It's like nothing else matters, and most people aren't going to understand that. So right. Continue the good fight, because, man, there's nothing better than writing a good song that you started as a seed and just you nurtured and you allowed it to grow, and you allowed it to grow enough to reach people. Because
I've seen
the other side of that song, how it changes people, and that is why I continue to just like, you ignore all the things, all the noise that life is bringing to you, like politics or, you know, commercialism or, you know, just anything that's related to capitalism on some level, where status is based on things that actually don't matter. You know, right. Really, it's an interesting thing. I think about it all the time, because
I do too.
We all love being comfortable. We like, you know, like having cool things.
Yeah.
Nice guitars, you know, but the people that I know that have made the most money to buy those fancy guitars don't know how to play them most of the time.
Right.
The ones that move me the most are the ones that sacrifice all the nice things to learn how to play those nice guitars.
Right.
Or those guitars that aren't nice to make them sound so unbelievable. And that's the magic of what we do that people can't put a price on. So
absolutely, man.
Sorry to go on that rant, but it was like I question these things all the time myself, because it's easy to, because it's easy to give into the noise. So
yeah,
it's cool to just kind of take a step back. What are you going to play us next? I'm interested.
Let's see. What else did I send you?
It was another one with Roll. Was it Let It Roll?
Let It Roll. Yep. I like when this one comes on when my songs are playing. I don't know. It's just got a different vibe. It's just a chilling vibe. It's kind of my vibe right now. Yeah.
Cool. All right, let's hear it. Here's Joe Eddy with Let It Roll.
Sailing all alone.
when she's reaching for the cover, reaching for the cover, reaching for love.
Yeah, it's such a cool vibe, dude.
Yeah.
Chill music, man. It just has like that. Like, I want to be on a road trip and just chill and listen to it. You know what I mean?
It's kinda right.
Cool. What was the influence behind that?
Oh, you know, it's a little more of that same vibe of the previous one, but without the negative pressure. It was, I believe in rock and roll is the part that stands out to me. There's something that when a good song comes on, that there's this sort of like letting loose that happens within our soul, sort of like you just relax and let loose. And I feel like we should do that all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, it's presence in meditation terms. And I think a lot about like I was on a train in Orlando, or I was in Orlando, and I overheard this guy say, "I don't do anything I don't love," and that stuck with me. And I don't know if this happens everywhere, but in North Dakota, I really feel this oppressive sort of like you should be normalness, and
come forward.
I celebrate the upside. Another thing that I've been thinking about lately is this one guy. I asked him, "So are you still doing real estate?" And he said, "Yeah, I kept my license just because there's a lot of upside." And I thought about that, like how I want to look for upside in life. I want to do bigger things. I want to take adventures. I want to challenge myself to take bigger risks. One time, this was years ago, a friend of mine who had a way of being an asshole said, I don't remember how he said it, but he kind of made fun of my small wager. We were trading stocks. We were like comparing stock day trades. And I was like, "Look what I did." And he poked a hole in my bubble by like saying what a paltry wager I had made, like $5 or something, you know. But that sticks with me like now, because I'm somewhere in the middle of life, you know, and it should have the inflection that goes upward, I think. So I want to look for those things and do those things. I've lived a lot, man, you know. I have kids, I've been married. I'm not anymore. My kids are out. I've had a child that passed away.
Wow.
Sorry
to hear that.
Thanks. Yeah, right. We've all had stuff, right? You know. So, what are we doing? Not living it to the max.
Yes.
Like, I think we should be extreme. If I had my way, I was just saying this morning how wouldn't it be great if no one cared about money at all? Like what you were saying,
yeah.
if that wasn't a thing, how peaceful it would be. You walk outside and there's just a different energy within yourself, and you see your neighbor and he's not all intense today. Yeah. And
right.
Wouldn't that be neat, you know? So yeah.
About to. It's not a realistic way that the society will ever live, but it's something I think about too, because it is a root of evil. You know, it's like, it's something we need. It's a necessary evil, and it's the root of evil. And it's a hard line to kind of like walk to figure out what makes the most sense to make it, what is making it, because there are times where I've made a lot of great money and I've been really unhappy. And mm-hmm. There are times where it's like I've been okay and I've been on top of the world. You know what I'm saying? So it's weird what you attach happiness to. And I think that is what we have to gauge.
Yeah.
Where do you put your happiness? For me, it's on the daily thing of like, Am I pushing myself to be better? Am I pushing myself to write? Am I pushing myself to perform? Am I having moments where I feel like I can touch the sky and that's all I care about? It's like none of those things have any price on it, but it's just a natural worry to just think about, oh, how's my bank account look? How does, you know, it's just, those are natural impulses, you know?
Yeah.
The world is way, you know?
As you've been, you said something earlier about just being in the moment and the magic of when we're talking about sobriety and being at zero.
Yeah, ground zero.
I have this wax candle just recognizing the magic that's all around us in this current moment is so crazy, you know, like what a trip that there's this melted wax candle that I've been looking at this whole time. It's, and you know, here's a guitar and I'm just sitting here breathing and this is my room and you know, it's just a trip. So remembering that magic, that's what all of those songs of mine were tonight, actually, now that I think about it. And that's what I'm all about, is that.
I love that. Where can people find you if they want to find you online? And
joeeddie.com, E-D-D-I-E, J-O-E-E-D-D-I-E.com. Check it out. I just started going live on YouTube. I'm trying to do that more regularly. So I created a radio.joeeddie.com, which is really fun. I do a lot of online stuff. So I like to have little mini games. I made a slot machine the other day, and I'm rolling this stuff out to my fans. I think it's really fun. So please do check me out at joeeddie.com.
Amazing. Awesome. Check out Joe's music at joeeddie.com. On behalf of Sam, myself, and Joe, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Check out Joe's music. It's worth a listen. He's a good cat. Joe, I wish you all the best. And next time you're in LA, we're going to have to hang. We're going to have to write.
Oh, that'd be great, man. Yes, I hope to get there really soon, and I will find you. Thank you so much for giving me a shout-out, Nikki. Thank you so much. And
of course. That's Sam. Yeah, man. Keep the music flowing, bro. On behalf of Sam, myself, and Joe, we'll see you guys next week. Peace, love. Take care of yourselves and each other.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.